I'd like to turn with you to the prophecy of Daniel, please. The book of Daniel. I can say, like our brother McCall yesterday, that we're not going to go into the prophetic aspect of this delightful book, but we want to look at some practical things from it. The book of Daniel, and I want to read in chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We'll read it, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah of Shadrach, unto Mishael of Meshach, unto Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Over to chapter 5, please. Chapter 5. And we'll read at verse 17. I'm sure that you're all familiar with Belshazzar and what took place, and ultimately the calling for Daniel. Verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts to be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. So on. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought thee vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Over to chapter 6, please, and verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And now to chapter 9 for a final reading. Chapter 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all our hearts. I was thinking of the ministry that has gone before and the richness of that ministry concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning that coming kingdom. And I was thinking of the defeat of the devil in the four ways that were brought before us. And my mind turned to the book of Daniel, and I thought that in the book of Daniel, we find that we have a number of attacks made by the enemy against Daniel. I want very briefly and very quickly to look at these things in a practical way. And I want us to notice that in chapter 1, we have brought before us the determination of Daniel. And that determination of Daniel was not to defile himself. And we could say that in the chapter, we have an attack upon his diet. When we come over to chapter 5, we have the discernment of Daniel. And in that chapter, we can see that there's an attack upon his desires. When we come to chapter 6, we have the deportment of Daniel. And there is an attack upon his devotion. And then in chapter 9, we see that in chapter 9, we can see that there is an attack upon the diligence of Daniel. Let me explain it. But first of all, let me say that in chapter 1, we have his consecrated purpose. In chapter 5, we have his courageous proclamation. In chapter 6, we have his consistent pathway. And in chapter 9, we have his careful perusal. In thinking of chapter 1, you will see the desire of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Nebuchadnezzar, we can see one who represents the devil in his attack upon the people of God. You will notice that Nebuchadnezzar, he desired the best of men. And brethren and sisters and younger believers, I want to say that after God saves a person, Satan will always seek to have that person. You remember that the Lord Jesus, speaking to the disciples and to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. You see, brethren and sisters, the devil would seek to get the best out of us, the best years of our lives, That's why it's important that we appeal to younger believers to go in for the things of God. There is abroad today the idea that a young person should expend energy in obtaining a good position in this life. That a young person should seek to get on and then somehow switch to spiritual things later in life, and it never works. If God gives you a good education, and if God gives you a good position, and if God orders your way to in prosperity, then use it all for the pleasure and for the glory of God. For Satan would seek to obtain the best years of the lives of the people of God, those energetic years, those enthusiastic years, those years when the mind is clear and concise, when the mind can assimilate and appropriate and appreciate and apply the word of God. And here was the desire of Nebuchadnezzar to stamp out all that was of God, to change their diet and to change their names. And it is the desire of the enemy. It is the purpose of Satan to stamp out spirituality, spiritual development, spiritual progress, godliness, separation, and holiness. But we see how Daniel stands here in this attack against his diet. Daniel was determined not to be defiled, not to be defiled by the Babylonian world. He purposed in his heart, the seat of his affections. His heart was right. And if the heart is right, everything else will fall into place. We've been exhorted to look back. We've been exhorted to look up. And if our affections are riveted upon that lovely person who there at the place called Calvary as our substitute bore the awful judgment of God, and if our hearts are occupied with a person who not only laid down his life, but in his resurrection and ascension took the highest place, and if our hearts are occupied with that lovely person of sterling character who moved in moral purity in this scene, the author and finisher of faith, that one, that life looked at as one complete, faithful life of absolute dependence and complete obedience to his God, if our hearts are knit to the person of Christ, then we will have that purpose of heart not to be defiled by the things of this world. It was a devoted determination. We heard the other day of the love of Christ constraining, shutting us up to a certain pathway, a pathway of separation. Love to God compelled and controlled him in his consecration and in his purpose of life. Dear child of God, that should characterize us. A determined, deliberate, devoted decision not to be defiled by the things of this world. He would not eat of the king's table. He would not use the name that was given to him. And mark you, as far as Babylon was concerned, that name had dignity, Baal's prince. But he would not eat of the king's table. And he would not use the name that was given to him, because he was conscious of the meaning of his own name. My judges, God. He was moving, deeply conscious of the eye of God upon him, and he would not be defiled. We have heard that what we need today is faithful, fresh teaching of the Word of God. Inspired, important instruction from the Word of God that alone will build and beautify Christian character. That's what we see in Daniel. He was conscious of the eye of God upon him. He was conscious that what Babylon held out to him would be defiling, and he would not be defiled, and he would not partake of that which would defile. I wonder, dear child of God, what are you feeding upon? Are you feeding upon the fresh pastures that are found in the Word of God that will build sterling character? Are you feeding upon the wholesome, health-giving Word of God that will produce Christ-likeness in the life? Are we feeding upon the Word of God that brings before us the loveliness and the beauty of Christ, his dignity and his devotion, his dependence and his diligence as he moved in this scene? And have we a deep desire to be like him now? Not only to be like him in that coming day, but to be more morally conformed to him as we move in this scene. He knew that God was his judge. And brethren and sisters, we need to have the judgment seat of Christ before us. And like Daniel, we need to be determined to be different. We need to be determined to be separate, to be separate. And what was the result of this purpose of heart, this determination, this standing against the attacks of the enemy? Well, you know, in verse 15 we're told that they were fairer, they were more beautiful. And I'm not speaking of the beauty that can be bought at a drugstore or the beauty shop. I'm thinking of that moral beauty, the beauty of character, upright, untainted, untarnished, uncorrupted character that brings joy and pleasure and delight to the heart of God. But not only were they fairer, more beautiful, and I'm using that in regard to character, for that is vital. It's not the outward appearance. It's that beauty of character. But you'll find in verse 17 that their knowledge and their skill, and they were skillful in all learning and in wisdom. And I tell you, young believers, if you are determined to be different to the world, if you're determined to be separate from the things of this world, and if you're determined not to have your diet changed, but to feed solely upon the Word of God, I want to tell you that you'll be intelligent and you'll have insight to the inspired instructions of the Word of God. How vital that is! To have insight into the teaching of the Word of God, to be intelligent in Scriptures, intelligent in the inspired instruction that we find in the Word of God. For I tell you that it's only the Word of God that will make us spiritually healthy and spiritually strong. Do you remember that John, in his first epistle, he writes not only to children and not only to fathers, he writes to young men, and he says, I have written to you young men because ye are strong. And why were they strong? Well, he tells us, because the Word of God was abiding in them. And that's why they were spiritually strong. The Word of God was abiding in them. Oh, dear child of God, young believer, get to know the Word of God. You can only be spiritually strong as you delve into the Word of God. That's why they were strong. For the Word of God was to them wholesome, health-giving food. They were assimilating it. They made it their own. It was abiding in them. It wasn't a mere knowledge. It wasn't a mere understanding. It was food to their souls. It was food that built them up and made them spiritually strong and stable and steadfast. And what was the result? We were hearing from Ephesians chapter 6 of the defeat of the devil by the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of that strength, because the Word of God was abiding in them, John tells us, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Dear child of God, the only way that we can possibly withstand and stand against the enemy, the devil, and I'm not going into the context of Ephesians chapter 6, but in 1 John, is by being spiritually strong and having the Word of God abiding in us. Make sure that you don't allow that diet to be tainted. We need the pure, unadulterated, uncorrupted, untainted Word of God. We must make sure that there's no leaven in it, as our brother Wells was reminding us. And we find that he stood. We have the determination of Daniel. We have his consecrated purpose. But when you come to chapter 5, I have suggested an attack upon his desire. You say, well, what do you mean? You remember in chapter 5 how Belshazzar offered him position and possessions. We find the courage shown by Daniel here. We see the courage of Daniel in a dark day. And as we read, you will have noticed in verse 17, his ambition was right. What does he say there in chapter 5 and verse 17? He tells Belshazzar in that verse, let thy gifts to be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. His ambition was right. No desire to advance materially. The word of God was everything to him. The will of God was everything to him. He stands when there's an attack upon him, when he's offered the gifts and the rewards. His ambition is right, and his attitude is right. In verse 18, he says, oh, thou king. He gives the king his rightful place. And we've been reminded that we must give those in authority their rightful place. But when they invade the sphere that belongs to God alone, we must refuse to obey. His attitude is right. He gives the king his rightful place. He's courteous. You know, brethren and sisters, there's no need to be coarse or ignorant or arrogant in standing for the things of God. Our attitude must be right, as well as our ambition might be right. Must be right. And his assessment was right. And I see here the discernment of Daniel. And he reminds Belshazzar of Nebuchadnezzar and what took place when pride entered his heart. And we're linking back with what we heard yesterday concerning Daniel, concerning the image. Yes, he was the head of gold. But now there was pride as well as pomp in Nebuchadnezzar. And instead of being the head, he wanted to be the whole image. And Belshazzar's reminded that he knew these things and what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar and how he was brought down to his level and how he acknowledges after he has his senses back the God of heaven. His assessment was right. There was clear, concise, courageous communication by Daniel to Belshazzar. Brethren and sisters, I trust that our desires are right. I trust that our discernment is right. I trust that we have a courage to stand for God in a dark day. We need to be marked by discernment. We mustn't be swayed by pleasing personality. We mustn't be swayed by plausible arguments. We need to be able to discern what is of God, what's in keeping with the word of God. Isn't that the desire of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Thessalonians, and the desire of the Spirit for every child of God? I'm thinking of the prayer of the Apostle Paul in chapter 1, that they not only increase more and more in love, but that they make it. They discern things that differ. They prove things that are excellent, or as the expression is, are proved by putting to the test things that differ, or things that are of more value. Because it's the same word translated excellent, you know, that is used by the Lord Jesus when he says, "Are ye not of more value than many sparrows?" So the idea is not discerning between what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. Brethren and sisters, we all ought to be able to do that. It's discerning between what is good and what is better, and what is better and what is best. So dear child of God, it should never be the question, what harm is there in it? The question we should ask is, what value is there in it? What spiritual value? What is best for my spiritual development and my spiritual growth? What's best for my development of Christian character? What is best to transform me in? He was marked by discernment. He was marked by courage. Now, I must draw it to the close. I want you to think of chapter 6 now. And I suggest that there's an attack upon his devotion. You see, they could find no fault in Daniel. Though their envy and jealousy drove them to search meticulously and under the gaze and the scrutiny of men, his moral and his life and his official service was without flaw. Isn't that good? Oh, it wasn't perfection there, mind you. He didn't have the manhood, the humanity that we've heard about. He was a man of like passions, could we use that is used by James of Elijah. But his moral life and his official service in the service of the king was without flaw. And we should be morally exemplary. And in our activities for our employers, we should be marked by honesty and by diligence. but they thought, here's one area. The only way they could see to remove Daniel was through his consistent devotion, his devotion to God. But although there's an attack upon his devotion, remember when Daniel knew that the edict was signed. He continued to do what he always did. 3 times in the day he went in. And we heard why he opened his windows towards Jerusalem. And he continued to do what he always did. Daniel was consistent not only in his moral character and in his faithful service. He was consistent in his devotion. Oh, his deportment was right, but his devotion was right. Brethren and sisters, he stood not only in the attack against his diet. He could say, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Yes, bread is necessary, but it's not paramount. It's the word of God that is paramount. And he stood the test. Very briefly, let me say in chapter 9, it's an attack now upon that diligence. You say, what do you mean? You'll find that he is carefully, prayerfully reading the Word of God. The Word of God. I've simply lifted the attack just to link with what's gone before, but you'll find that he was concerned about the purpose of God, and through searching and supplication, he received further revelation. I trust that we are diligent in the Word of God. We trust that God will bless his Word to our hearts.